I want to share a story about there was an atheist, and he had a neighbor who was an old lady, a Christian, and they have been loggerheads for a long time. And this atheist is trying to convince this old lady that there's no God. And this old lady insisted there is. And this atheist is trying means and ways to try to convince her. And one day, when the old lady was praying in front of a porch, in front of a house, and this atheist heard her prayer that says, "Lord, I have in need of food. Can you send food to me? I just need a bag of rice." And this atheist was so excited, he said, "Wow, this is my opportunity to show this old lady that there is no God." And so what he did was that the very next day, he bought a bag of rice and he put it in front of this Christian old lady. And when this old lady came out and saw the bag of rice, and she exclaimed, "Oh Lord, praise you! You heard my prayer! Thank you, Lord!" And the atheist jumped out and said, "Ha ha ha, you know what? I bought that bag of rice. I was the one, not your God." And the old lady, you know what she did? She said, she prayed to the Lord. She said, "Oh Lord, thank you so much. You even make my enemy pay for it." Be strong and courageous. Today, our message is to be strong and courageous, to possess our inheritance. And a key verse today in Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Last week, we heard a message of how magnanimous the Lord is to give the abundant blessings, and God will set you high above all nations and grant victory against all enemies. Give abundant prosperity that we will be fruitful and productive, and God will send a blessing on everything you do and bless you in the land and all the work of your hands. God will establish you as His own, open heavens, His bountiful storehouse, and make you the head and not the tail. Always at the top and never at the bottom. There are two conditions for the Israelites to receive the blessings. First, the blessings are based on the covenant relationship they had with God. God promised good to the Israelites, and the Israelites promised to serve only the Lord God. Second, the blessings are given in the promised land, in the land of Canaan. We are reaching the end of Deuteronomy, where Moses had finished giving the law to the second generation Israelites. And now in chapter 31, Moses was going to die very soon and no longer able to lead them. The Israelites will soon lose the greatest leader and prophet. Moses, who led them out of Egypt with 10 great signs and wonder, parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to escape from the pursuing Egyptian army, who brought food in manna and quail, water from the rock, who spoke to God face to face and received the 10 commandments and established the covenant between God and the Israelites. And Moses also interceded for the many rebellions of the Israelites and led them to victory against Amalekites, King Sihon, and King Og of the giants, taking possession of the land east of Jordan River. What would happen to the Israelites now? With the leader living, can they survive? Now, without an anointed leader whom the Lord listened to, the Israelites were faced with an uncertain future. Many will look at the bleak situation with the strong leader leaving. But the Lord God of Israel was still present with them and cared about their situation more than they do. Why? Because the Lord is the covenant-keeping God who promised on oath to the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give the land to them and their descendants. The Lord will commit to fulfill His promise. The Lord knew that fear and unfaith will prevent them from possessing their inheritance, and hence we see the Israelites being exhorted, be strong and courageous. Can I have my slides, please? And they were exhorted three times in Deuteronomy. Be strong and courageous. And we shall learn today from the situation of the Israelites how we can also be strong and courageous. And the first question we need to answer is, be strong and courageous for what? For what? What are the Israelites to be strong and courageous for? Is it to go back to Egypt and be strong and courageous slaves to these Egyptians? Or is it to settle down and hope that they will survive? God has a purpose for the Israelites, and the purpose has not changed. The purpose is to go into the land of Canaan and take possession of their inheritance. In Deuteronomy 31, 3 and 5 says, you will take possession of their land. You must do to them all that I have commanded you. The land of Canaan had been given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. But possessing it and making their own required the Israelites to remove the people who are now occupying the land. And what gives the Israelites the right to remove the people in the land of Canaan? Remember, who owns the land? It is the Creator Lord God. God is the landlord who decides who will take which land and who will be evicted. The Canaanites were the enemies of God by their rebellion against Him in the darkest of idolatry and lawlessness, child sacrifice, sexual immorality, and so on. The land of Canaan was the Lord's special land, and the Lord had decided to transfer the land over to the Israelites at that time. We also know the same reason that the Lord evicted the people of Canaan is the same reason the Lord evicted the people of Israel later, about 1,000 years. So the Lord is not unfair or showing favoritism. But the taking of the land is not a walk in the park, because the enemies would certainly not hand the land over on a silver platter. It involved fighting, injuries, and even death. There were great risks when taking possession. The enemies were many, strong, aggressive, scheming, and they were giants. Though there were victories in the past, there were also defeats. But they were due to Israel's disobedience. Now, with Moses leaving the scene, the feeling of discouragement and fear was without question. And the Lord personally commissioned Joshua to take up leadership and to bring the Israelites into the land that the Lord had promised. Both Joshua and the Israelites were exhorted to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid or be terrified of them, but to go and take possession of the land. How is this related to us today? The Israelites were called to be strong and courageous to take possession of the inheritance of the land. It was God's mission for them, and this was also God's mission. Does God have a mission for us today? To take possession of the inheritance. As believers in Christ, we have received salvation and a wonderful place in heaven to be with Jesus, who is now full of glory, honor, and majesty. Yet God also has also inheritance for us here on earth to possess. The Lord commissioned Joshua to lead the Israelites to go over and take possession of the land and kill all the enemies and the nations in the land. What are we to do now with the nations and the enemies? Are we also going to kill them and destroy them? In a way, to the nations, Jesus said, make them disciples. And to the enemies, Jesus said, love them, pray for them. We destroy the enemies by turning them from enemies to become friends and followers of Jesus. So there will be no more enemies. This is the great commission Jesus gave us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:18. This is the mission Jesus gave to us. And this is also Jesus' mission. And what about inheritance? The most valuable inheritance is that which will last for eternity. Therefore, Jesus commanded us to store up treasures in heaven, where no rust will destroy, where no thieves will steal. All the things on earth that are valuable to us right now will pale in comparison for the glorious things in heaven for eternity. We work so hard to achieve many things on earth, but which of these can we bring up to heaven? There is nothing we can bring from earth to heaven. There is nothing of physical nature and material that we can bring up to heaven. But there is something on earth that we can bring up. That is the souls of our loved ones and friends. The souls of people will last forever. Therefore, people on earth, our loved ones, our friends, are the most valuable inheritance that we can take possession. Souls are eternal, but there are two eternal destinations. One destination is to the utter darkness, torment in the lake of fire in hell. There is no parole. There is no end date. It is eternal. And the other destination is blissfulness in the Lord's kingdom in heaven, where there are no tears, no sickness, fullness of joy, the gathering of loved ones, crowns and rewards, the grandest banquet. But that is still not the best part. The greatest of all is that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne in his fullness of glory and majesty with God the Father. And if Taylor Swift is in heaven, she will pale in comparison to Jesus. She will have no Swifties swarming around her, but she will be okay, because her eyes will no longer be on herself, not on the achievements of many followers, but her eyes will be on the majesty and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are two eternal destinations: eternal death and suffering in hell, or eternal life and joy in heaven. Proverbs 11:30 says, "He who wins souls is wise." And James 5:20 says, "He who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death." The treasure and inheritance of the souls of people that we bring to heaven is of infinite value, such that money cannot buy. Do you know that God gives people to us as our inheritance? It was recorded in Acts 27, where Paul was on a ship with 276 men, and the ship entered into a severe storm, struck by hurricane, and took violent batterings by the winds and waves for many days. And they had not seen the sun nor moon. All on board were exhausted, fighting for their lives, preventing the ship from being wrecked and flooded. And they had lost the hope to live. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Paul and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." What did the angel say? God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. there were a total of 276 men on the ship, all given to Paul. And Paul didn't just keep the word in his heart and waited for the Lord to deliver them. He shared this to the people and encouraged them. Twice he said to them, keep up your courage. And he encouraged them to eat, to have strength to survive, because they had not eaten for many days. Paul did five things that prevented them from destruction and death. And finally, all 276 of them were saved. The Lord also gave us people as our inheritance in the Great Commission because they are of infinite value, because of their souls that last for eternity. And Scripture says it is wise to save souls and save them from death. The inheritance is given, but it requires us to take possession of them. In taking possession of people's souls as our inheritance, the Lord also provided along with it the finances, the resources, the properties, things that we need to fulfill the Great Commission. The Lord has given us Fengshan Primary School and Valor Primary School to run the BB and GB ministry. As you can see in this picture, there's so many students that the Lord has sent. The ministry is led primarily by Andy and Agnes and a few others supporting them, Siu Hui, Angela, Kevin, Jenna, and also Elijah. And some youths like Sarah and Phoebe also help out at the camps. Can we all give them a big hand? And you can see that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So if you are willing to serve, please look for Andy and Agnes. And we have been running Royal Rangers for 7 years now. And through that, we have ministered to many children. And some of them, like Elaine's family and the husband, Evan, the children, Sophia, and son, Lucas, are now in our church among you today. Can we give them a big hand? Because the Lord has given us inheritance in Tampines, we can use it also to reach the young people there. And so we decided to run the Royal Rangers in Tampines. 2 weeks ago, we used the place to run the Easter event and the kids enjoyed themselves. Kenneth is leading the Royal Rangers along with his wife, Catherine, Andy, myself, Yi Ru, Jing Yi, Angela, and recently Wing Khan and Elijah has joined. Can we give them a big hand also? And those who are interested to join Royal Rangers, please look for Kenneth, Andy, or myself. We're also looking to reach parents of kids by running parenting and marriage courses. And if anyone is interested to support in running the courses or join the courses so that you can connect with the community, please also contact us. The Lord has also given us Tampines 253 Center, which Jasmine has been running before after school care for many years. And now it has been beautifully renovated to run senior activities, encouraging them to make good use of their time to build strong bodies and also to learn new skills and to build friendships. And can you see Pastor Kin in the picture? Here. She's involved in the ministry too. Let's give them a big hand. And if anyone is interested to support the elderly work in 253 or have ideas, please look for Jasmine. God has so given to each one of us finances and resources, gifts and talents, our homes that we use to outreach to non-believers by running alphas, happiness groups, Christmas parties, and so on. So we don't have a lot of space to put the pictures of every net and cell, but just to highlight a few, on the top left, Anna and myself, we ran the Christmas party in our homes. On the top right, Elder Roland and Serena's net happiness group. And on the bottom right, Elder Ken Chung and Lee Hui's happiness group. And not to forget Ita in Cambodia, who started her ministry in Cambodia in a very difficult time of COVID, running Zoom English lessons, using her very humble home, ministering to a few girls, and now she has led a number of to the Lord and has over 10 people gathering every week at every week's service. their Easter and Christmas party has over 40 of turnouts. She has truly demonstrated what it means to start small, which grew larger, because she took possession of the inheritance of the people, and the Lord provided the resources, the finances for her. And just to be clear, it wasn't easy for her. She's leading a group of 10 youths who are also easily distracted with their phones. And constantly, she needs to get them all to surrender their phones so that they can focus on reading the Bible and staying together. You know, we have always been looking for a church property where we can have a place of worship, and also that it will be a physical and visible beacon of God so people can come and find God. During COVID, the bidding of land stopped, and recently the bidding reopened. We bidded for Sengkang, but we didn't get it. Now we're bidding for Tampines. And it seems like all this time, we haven't been very successful. Should we still continue looking and bidding? There are two things about that. Firstly, even though we have not acquired any land, all the efforts have taught the leadership team many valuable lessons that cannot be learned from anywhere else, equipped us with wisdom to handle bigger projects. It is like pastors sharing last week about Thomas Edison, who responded to all the 2,000 wasted effort to create a light bulb. Thomas Edison said it was not wasted effort, but they have learned 2,000 ways not to create an electric light bulb. What would it be today if Edison had not persevered on? Can we imagine a world without street lamps, without lights at home, without television, without computers and smartphones? Indeed, the 2,000 failed attempts were not a wasted effort. And secondly, God has given vision to BC to plant church in the Northeast. This is an inheritance that God has given us. But we cannot take possession of it if we don't bid. And we will never receive the inheritance. So the community outreach, the work in Tampines are important contributions to acquiring the church land in Tampines. And why are we doing this? As Paul said, that by all possible means, I might save some. 1 Corinthians 9:22. We also need to recognize that we cannot take possession if God doesn't help us. And that is why it's so important that we gather together to make an hour to pray as a church this morning. How important is praying together for an hour to Jesus? Remember the night when Jesus was praying at Gethsemane? His disciples were all very tired and they were in deep sleep. And yet Jesus said, "Couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray." Jesus is calling for covenant prayer partners with him. We're starting this 1 hour prayer once a month on Sunday morning now, but we have also been doing this over Zoom every Monday night over 3 years now. We would like to also encourage everyone to make time for an hour to pray together from 7:30 to 8:30. You can get the Zoom details from your net leaders. And can BC continue to exercise faith to take possession of the inheritance God is giving us? If you agree, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. God has also given us neighborhoods, schools, and workplaces where we have sphere of influence to demonstrate the love and kindness of God, to introduce people to Jesus and share the gospel with them. Obeying the Great Commission also involves risk, losses, rejections, and in extreme cases in other countries, life loss. The Lord Jesus said to Paul, "Take courage," as he continued to testify in other places. Obeying the Great Commission and taking possession of our inheritance will require us to take courage. So how can we take courage? Here we go on to the second part of the message on provision. We can be strong and courageous to take possession of our inheritance because the Lord has given us 5 things. The first thing God provides is His presence. Let's go back to the story of the Israelites. Moses would no longer lead the Israelites. But the Lord God of the Israelites would be with the Israelites and lead them. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." The problem with many of us is that we depend many times on what is visible, what our eyes see, but fail to depend on God because we can't see God. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, he returned to the camp and found that the Israelites had made a golden calf and worshipped it. And this made God so mad that he said that he would send an angel to drive out the enemies in the land. But God himself would not go because the people were so prone to sin against him that he might destroy them along the way. If God was not with them, the Israelites would be devoid of God. God's favor would not be with them. How would they be distinguished from all other nations? Moses recognized that there would be nothing without God's presence, and he pleaded with God not to leave them. And the Lord granted Moses' request. The presence of the Lord shows that God is with us. He watches over us. He has favor over us. He guides us. He blesses us. He will step in when we are in trouble. And we will say the same thing as Moses did. Lord, if your presence don't go with us, how can we take possession of our inheritance? And so when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, will he also be with us? Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Sometimes we say, "Sure or not?" And Jesus say, "Surely." Sometimes we say, "Will Jesus always be with us?" Jesus says, "Always." And sometimes we ask, "Be with us until when?" And Jesus says, "To the very end." Not for a while. Not sometimes. Not maybe. To the very end. When we are with Jesus, the Lord gives us courage. In the book of Acts 4, Peter and John were seized and they were put in jail for the preaching and proclaiming that Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The next day, they were brought before the high priest and the leaders to be interrogated. And Peter spoke and even preached to them. The leaders were astonished by their courage and noted that they had been with Jesus. So the first thing God provided us with his presence, courage comes from being with Jesus. We can be certain that when we do the Great Commission, Jesus is with us. He promised, surely, always, and to the very end. And the second thing God provided is his Holy Spirit. And back to the story of the Israelites, who will take over Moses to lead the Israelites. I think there are two big challenges. Firstly, the Israelites were stiff-necked and they were rebellious people. Any one of you want to lead the Israelites? And secondly, there were over 2 million of them for Joshua to lead. But the problem has always been internal, never external. The one who leads must surely be very wise, and God knows it. And Deuteronomy 34:9 says that Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom to lead the Israelites. And similarly, 500 years later, Israel had the wisest king, King Solomon. And King Solomon wasn't born with the highest IQ. How did he become so wise? He became so wise by asking the Lord to give him wisdom to lead Israel. And the Lord was pleased to give him. In addition, the Lord also gave him what he didn't ask: wealth and honor. And when Jesus gave the Great Commission, He didn't simply command us to go and make disciples. He knows that it is a great task, a task that humans alone cannot do. This was the reason why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says so, that we will have power to be his witness. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts, such as healing, word of knowledge and wisdom, and also teach us what to do and how to speak. Matthew 10:19. And James 1:5 says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all. This is our magnanimous God who promised to give us wisdom generously when we ask. Is something too difficult? Ask for wisdom. Once Anna invited a friend who was a non-Christian and seeking God. And before she came, I prayed to the Lord and asked the Holy Spirit for a word. And I received the word without peace. And so she came to our house, we had a little chit-chat, and she began to ask questions about God. But I felt that her questions were very much on the surface. I suppose perhaps she's hesitant to ask. So I asked her whether she felt that she had no peace. And suddenly she began to share that she was oppressed by an evil spirit. You know, so the second thing God provided us is his Holy Spirit that will assist us and give us power to be his witness. And the third thing God provided is his deliverance. And back to the story of the Israelites, Deuteronomy 31:3 says, the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you. And when God commanded the Israelites to go and take possession of the inheritance, it wasn't like God was behind them and telling them, charge, charge, go ahead. God said that not only he will go over, he will also do the job and destroy the nations before the Israelites. So after Joshua took over the leadership, the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River and their first battle began against Jericho that had high and fortified walls. God instructed them to go close to the Jericho walls and walk around it for 7 days and finally give a loud shout. And the power of the Lord was released. All the walls of Jericho came down. You know, the Israelites would not have seen and experienced the Lord's power at Jericho if they refused to follow the Lord's instructions. What if the Israelites refused to follow the Lord's instructions? Maybe they got scared and say, wow, have to go so close to the enemy's walls. Wouldn't that be inviting the enemies to throw stones at us or shoot arrows at us? Or maybe they say, Lord, since you are going over to destroy them, can you destroy them first? Then we can just walk in and take over the land. Isn't it interesting why God wouldn't do that? It would have been so easy, isn't it? The reason I think why God wouldn't do that and make it easy is because he's giving the Israelites the privilege to share in the glory of fighting and winning against the enemies. The second reason is also that God is looking for people who would exercise faith and trust him, what he said and what they should do. If God already did everything and the Israelites simply just walk in, would the Israelites experience the power and the joy of victory? If God already did everything, would the Israelites need to exercise faith? The answer is no. Similarly, in our case, to save the lost, many of us may agree to do the Great Commission, but are very hesitant to go and initiate conversations and share the gospel. Many of us have taken a passive approach, hoping that the Lord will do everything. So the non-believers will just come to us, without us lifting a finger and said to us, I want to believe in Jesus. Will we then experience the power and joy of leading a soul to Christ? Will we need to exercise faith? God is looking for covenant partners who will take initiative to preach the gospel. And on the other hand, there are also many of us who have worked hard to share the gospel, but none have responded that they want to believe in Jesus. Does God really go ahead to bring deliverance? In the book of Acts, we see the salvation of Cornelius' household and the Ethiopian eunuch. And in both cases, it happened because Peter and Philip were obedient to go as the Holy Spirit instructed them to go. The Holy Spirit said to Peter, "Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." The Holy Spirit said, "I have sent them." This tells us that the Holy Spirit had already gone ahead and initiated the work. Let us not also forget many times in the Bible where the gospel was preached, but not always that the people trusted the Lord. So it is okay if we share the gospel and a person has not made the decision to believe. Galatians 6:7-9 says that we will reap what we sow. So if we sow the gospel, we will reap a harvest of souls if we do not give up. I have a habit of sharing the gospel to taxi drivers, especially in the morning on the way to church. A few weeks back, Isaiah and Josiah were with me in the taxi 7 a.m. on the way to Expo. And normally I would initiate conversation with the taxi driver, but that day I felt a bit tired and I decided to just be quiet and rest in the taxi. Somehow as we drove off, I thought to myself, oh well, no need to always share the gospel. Just have a chat with taxi uncle. So I chatted with the taxi uncle. I said, "Uncle, how long have you been driving taxi?" And he said that he was retiring. And I drew affinity with my dad, who was also retiring. And I asked him, how would he spend his time as a retiree? And he started sharing that one can do community service. And I thought to myself, hey, that is what my mom is doing. So I can pull some strings and share the gospel. And he further said, can go to church. Then I was like, wow, this is God sent. You know, I didn't start a spiritual conversation, but the taxi driver was the one who gave me the cue. So I asked him, so do you go to church or not? Then he laughed and he said, no. But he said, but my wife went. Wow, another interesting information that was revealed. And I asked, then how come you don't follow your wife? To cut the long story short, he didn't trust the Lord. He held on to his belief that there is no God, even though I gave him evidence for the existence of God. So as we left the taxi, I told the uncle, uncle, I hope you will join your wife and consider to believe in Jesus someday. I wanted to keep this door open for him. And then as we walked into Expo, I turned to Isaiah and Josiah and I asked them what they think about the conversation. And both of them said, I don't think uncle believed. And I asked, so have I wasted my time? And I said, it is okay. It is okay if I share the gospel and the person not believe. Because I've sowed the gospel. But maybe someone else will reap it. Jesus says, one sows, another reaps. So the sower and the reaper may be glad together. And I've seen this several times. This happened to me. A few months back, an insurance agent called me and gave me a quick update. And he said, hey, just to let you know that I have believed in Jesus and started going to church. On one hand, I was disappointed. How come he didn't trust a lot through me? I shared the gospel with him and I invited him for Alpha. And on the other hand, I was happy because he has believed in Jesus Christ. So the third thing that God provided is his deliverance. When we work, God works. The fourth thing that God provided is his commission. Back into Deuteronomy, God personally commissioned Joshua to lead the Israelites. Verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, "Call Joshua, I will commission him." At that time, Joshua was already a great army general. But at the beginning, after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, the Amalekites attacked them, and Moses commissioned Joshua to lead a group of people to fight. At the time, the Israelites were just refugees. They had no fighting experience, no army, no leaders. But Joshua accepted the role to lead and fight. And Joshua experienced firsthand the power of God. When he was fighting and found that he was struggling and losing, he found that it was because Moses lowered the staff when his hands were tired. It was no ordinary staff. Exodus 17 says it was the staff of God. But when Moses raised the staff, Joshua found that he was winning. And perhaps he suddenly that he had a strength and enemies seems weaker. And finally, they won the victory over the Amalekites. Joshua must have felt honored and privileged, elated, that he was commissioned to go and fight with the power of God. So for King Jesus to commission us with a great commission, it is the greatest honor that we can receive. That we have the opportunity to be involved in the greatest work that we can ever have. The Great Commission is a commission of partnership that we get to work with the Almighty Lord and King Jesus. I remember that when I returned back from overseas studies in Australia, I was leading a cell group. And Pastor Philip, he wanted me to take over the youth ministry. And at the time, I was full of doubts. And felt that I was really incompetent.